Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
And thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. In this profound message, the Archbishop delves into the importance of developing your spirit to guide, lead, and empower you to victory. Be empowered in how to keep your spirit charged and to take dominion in every area of your life. Join us for this year's Global Prayer Work Summit, entitled The Outpouring, from the 17th to the 20th of July. Register now at ndwministries.org. Know today that this is God's word to inspire you. Be strengthened as you listen.
In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 12, the Bible said that the eyes to see and the ear to hear, both are a gift from the Lord or are made of God. The Bible said that the eyes have they, but they see not. And the Bible said, let him that have ear to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying. Then the Bible said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall hear the voice of the Son of God will live and not die. Your ability to hear the voice of God, your ability to hear from God, determines your longevity. Psalm 13 verse 3, the Bible said, I beseech thee, O Lord, illuminate my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. When you cannot see, when you lack the ability to see, you die prematurely. And today we are rebuking spiritual blindness. We rebuke spiritual deafness. That we will have eyes to see and ears to hear. Put your hands together and pray for the eyes to see and the ear to hear. Let me see, O Lord. Let me have eyes to see, ears to hear. I don't want to die prematurely. I don't want to be spiritually blinded. I don't want to be spiritually deaf. I want to hear the voice of the Son of God. I want to have the ability to see and to hear what's happening, what's going on in the spirit world. Pray that prayer. Give me eyes to see, ears to hear. For the eyes to see and the ears to hear, they are both gifts from the Lord. The Bible says that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the same. Today, have a seeing eye, have an hearing ear. As you put your hands together, we destroy the veil and pray that we will not be spiritually blinded, nor deaf, in the name of Jesus. Now, lift up your hands. When Iran sent missiles to Israel, Israel intercepted them. Any missiles the enemy has released against you in the spirit and this house, and your family and loved ones, home and abroad, today by the blood of Jesus, we intercept all demonic missiles. Put your hands down. Intercept every demonic missiles they fired at us, our family, our sons, our daughters, our children. It shall not prosper. It will not work. Let it not work. Let it not prosper. Open your mouth. Put your hands together. Intercept demonic missiles on the home front, on the church front, on the political scene, on the financial and social scene. on the home front. We intercept every missile, health missile, health hazards, family instability, crisis. Intercept. Open your mouth. Intercept. Intercept. Open your mouth. Say, I intercept. I intercept. Missiles fired at me mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, it will not stand. Neither shall it come to pass. Let it be intercepted. Put your hands together and say, intercepted. Amen. Hallelujah. For the next 6 to 8 weeks, every Wednesday, we are going to be dealing with the subject of having faith in God and maintaining your faith. It's one thing to have something, and it is another thing to keep it or to maintain it. You can lose your salvation. The fact that you are born again don't mean you will automatically enter heaven without going through certain processes and following the rules of engagement. You can't be born again, live anyhow, do whatever you please, and go to heaven. I was telling them in the first service that there are qualifications to enter heaven. There are certain things when you do, even though you may be born again, you will not make it. And one of the simplest things that can deny you entering heaven is lying. Just lying. Ask somebody, are you a liar? Tell somebody, do you lie? Do you lie? Yeah. And it's very easy to lie. And I will show you scriptures throughout this journey that will help you appreciate and understand that what you think is so common, lying, can deny you heaven. Then Jesus said the other day, he said, whosoever overcometh, I will not remove their name from the book of life. So it's very serious and scary that Jesus said, your name can be removed from the book of life. Even though you are born again and your name is in the book of life, he said, if you fail to overcome in this war and struggle and fight between your flesh and your spirit, your name can be taken out of the book of life. Now that is very scary. So this kind of mentality where people think you can be born again, live in the church, live anywhere, anyhow, do whatever you please, go around, fooling around, sleeping around, masturbating with anointing oil, and just doing anything you want and make it to heaven. It's not true. And I will show you qualifications and of things when you do, like being a carnal Christian, a soulless Christian, you can be denied going to heaven. I'm telling you. So every Wednesday for the next 6 to 8 weeks, we want to deal with the subject of faith. And after lunch today, I want you to take a minute, sit down, read the whole book of Hebrews 11. Yeah, stay with me, the organ, stay with me. Read Hebrews 11. And you will see that in Hebrews 11, it's very clear that some things happened there where the Bible said they shut the mouths of lions, they subdue kingdoms, they quench the flames of fire, they brought back their dead to life, not by money, not by political connection, and not by the intervention of men, but by the act of faith. By the act of faith. By faith in God, they obtained good report. They did not obtain good report by money, by political connection, or by the interventions of men. As much as money is good, material goods are okay, having connections with the powers that be is good, and the interventions of men are good. None of those things, if you read Hebrews 11 and you see the accomplishment of these heroes of faith, none of them accomplished and did what they did for God by money, by political connection, or by the interventions of men. It was done by faith. And the Bible said in Hebrews 11:6, that he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that he is the rewarder of them that seek him diligently. There's something about pleasing God when you act in faith. For the Bible said, whatsoever is done without faith is sin. And when it talks about pleasing God, it means you make God happy when you have faith in him. You make him happy. The Bible said, when the way of a man pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So when you have faith, you please him. You make him glad. You make him happy. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So many people will please anything and anyone, but they forsake and will refuse to please God and think they can survive by pleasing everybody and displeasing God. It's to your detriment. And a day will come when you will need him. And you will cry, oh God, oh my God. And he will not respond because you never had faith in him. You spend all your time and your energy doing everything else and disregarding the God factor of your life. And remember, without faith, you cannot please him. So we will talk about how to obtain faith and how to maintain one faith in God and what faith is. And if I were you, if it takes faith to please God, then I will have faith and have more of it. Because if there's one person you must seek to please than anyone else, is the Almighty. There are mighties. There are people who are mighty, but God is almighty. There are kings, but there are king of kings. There are lords, but there are lords of lords. There are powerful people, but there are many who are powerful, but God is the source of all power. So every Wednesday, we want to build on faith, and the choice is yours. You can choose and decide to pursue material things, make money, acquire properties and houses, and be big and huge. Yeah. And irrespective of trending, becoming huge and big, if you don't have faith, you have no contact with God. You have no relationship with God. It's like I was somewhere recently and people were trying to contact me and they couldn't reach me because my phone, where I was, did not allow them to reach me and I couldn't reach them. It was out of coverage area. And that is what happened when you don't have faith in God. God can't reach you. Turn to somebody and say, is your faith and your spirit out of a coverage area? Yeah. So your cell phone is there. You have your cell phone, but you can't reach God, and God can't reach you. So your battle is dead. So that is on the issue of faith. Today we want to talk about a spirit-driven and a spirit-controlled life. And I want you to understand that you are not a human being. Tell two people, do you know that you are not a human being? And don't worry, I'll explain it to you. Come with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Let me prove to you who you are. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22 to 23. Come with me.
Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace...
Abstain from all appearance of evil. Hear me. It's not every invitation I honor, and it's not every place I go. I'm telling you. There are some places I will not go. And some invitations I don't honor. Because nobody is a superhuman being. Even angels were tempted, much more flesh and blood. Are you hearing me? Angels were foreign angels. They were tempted by the daughters of men.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. The daughters of men seduce angels. Turn to somebody and say, if angels can be seduced, who do you think you are? You. Come on, put your hands together. Give God some praise here. So he talks about avoiding the appearance of evil. Yeah. Don't go into certain areas. Yeah. Don't go into some areas. I remember some years ago, I went to visit some friends of mine who I used to smoke weed with. When I entered the place, the whole place was full of clouds. Smoke had filled the whole place. And the thing hit me. And I hadn't smoked for many years. And the thing hit me. And just there, I realized that I've been delivered. And I said to them, I will see you later. And immediately I left. When I sat in the car going back to my house, I lived at the airport at that time, the thing was haunting me. It was following me. And I said, I curse it. I curse it. I curse it. I bind it in the name of Jesus. And the thing was still smelling on me. I have to go shower and everything to drive it off. And I said to myself, what did I go doing there? Why did you go there? Turn to someone and say, why did you go there? Why? Now hear me. You can't walk on fire and don't expect fire to burn you. Fire will burn you. And hear me. Sex is transaction. Sex is transaction. If you don't know, I'm telling you. Sex is transaction. And sex is a place of exchange. I was telling a young pastor who came to see me. He's not married. Very powerful guy. Very, very gifted. And we were talking. And he said, I should pray for him. He's very confused. And I said, why? He said, he has two ladies he's interested in. And the two of them believe that God has spoken to them that he should marry them. And he's very confused because he likes the two of them. Yeah. And whilst we were talking, I saw that he was falling for one of them. So I said to him, I said, listen, let me tell you something. The reason why they respect you and they honor you and they like you is because you haven't lost your power. But I said, the day you have sex with them, you lose your power. And it will take the blood of Jesus for you to regain it. So don't go there. That's what the Bible says. A man has no power over his body but the woman, and the woman has no power over his body but the man. You see, these are practical things. I remember years ago, something happened in action. And I didn't want to address it. And an old man of God, he came to me. You know what he said to me? He said, Nicholas, if you don't address some of these things from the pulpit, it will come from the congregation and climb to the pulpit and attack you. So don't be, deal with it, address it. And he said, the more you address it, it will not attack you. But if you keep quiet about it and you avoid it, it can come to you. So I'm attacking it. I'm addressing it. So it will stay away. Come on, put your hands together. Give God praise. Yeah. I was telling them at the first service, some years ago, one of my own spiritual daughters came to my office and she was dressed some way. The dressing was some way, some way. So when she stepped in my office and I looked at the way she was dressed, I said, James Bond, 007, license to kill. So I said, girl, who are you going to kill today? She said, papa, papa. And I said, don't papa me. The way you are dressed is license to kill. 007, James Bond, I revoke your license to kill. Are you clapping? Yeah. And you know why I did that? Me, I came from the ghettos. I came from the streets. I wasn't born spiritually. Are you hearing me, somebody? So I don't need Holy Spirit to tell when I see an armed robber. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because of where I've come from, I don't need too much discernment. When I see you, you have license to kill, I can tell. That was the problem of Samson. He saw that Delilah was a hired assassin, and that Delilah had the license to kill, and he was still playing with fire. Tell somebody, why are you playing with fire? Fire will burn you. Come on, put your hands together. Are you clapping, somebody? Your clapping is very suspicious. Yes.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly.
Holy.
And I pray God.
That word holy means purity. And he said, with that holiness, no one will see God. And the holiness here is purity, sanctification. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's why me, I don't bear grudges. I don't harbor offenses and unforgiveness and bitterness. I want my heart to be pure so that I can see God. And those who keep bitterness, offenses in their heart, your heart is contaminated. And your heart means your spirit. You will never see God. You will never experience God if you are always harboring things in you. Let it go. Let it go. Let go. Put your hands together and say something. Say something. Go ahead.
I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Blameless. Three things. Your spirit, your soul, and your body. So you are not a human being. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. That is who you are. And until we understand that I am not a human being, I am a spirit being trying to have a human experience, rather than I am a human being trying to have a spiritual experience, you will always be confused. You are a spirit trying to have a human experience. It is spirit, soul, and body. We've turned it all around. Even in marriage and relationship, if the two of you are not spiritually connected, it's very difficult for the marriage to work. A marriage is not just sex. Today, we have a generation that think that marriage is sex and feelings. No. Marriage is more than sex. Marriage is more than feelings. Marriage first must be of a spiritual connection. There have to be a spiritual connection, a spiritual union, a spiritual understanding first. If the both of you have spiritual conflict, he believes one thing, you believe one thing, is a destiny problem. I'm telling you. And it doesn't matter how physically good she looks and how physically good he looks. Marriage is not about looks. If you marry because she looks some way, as soon as she starts having children, she begins to melt. Everything begins to fall apart. Are you hearing me? When I was a young man, I had the bushy hair. My sister Joy, she's sitting there, she will tell you. You will see some of my pictures. Sometimes I let them put it on the screen. I had a lot of bushy. And as the years went by, my hair began to disappear. And I don't know what happened to my hair. I don't have bushy anymore. So as time goes on, things change. So if you marry because he had the bushy hair, the hair will disappear. If you marry the woman because she looks some way, as things begin to melt, you will start looking around for another woman. And that woman too, as time goes on, she will begin to melt. And that's why Solomon went for 1,000. Because they kept melting. After 1,000, he said, you know something, it's enough. All is what? Vanity. Put your hands together. Spirituality. Now, look at a scripture. Proverbs 20:27.
The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the
body. So what does it mean? The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It means that God communicates to you and I through our spirit, not through our emotions or our body. Your spirit is your guide. God will guide you by your spirit, not by your imagination, not by your feelings, not by your emotion. He guides you by your spirit, not by your soul, not by your body. Sometimes you hear people say, well, something told me. That is very, very rude. That something is your spirit. It's God speaking and communicating to you through your spirit. But you are so hooked and dependent to your emotions, to your soul, to your body, that God can't communicate to you. And the reason also is that your cell phone, your phone battery is dead. And your spirit is that battery that keeps your cell phone. So your soul and body is the phone, and your spirit is the battery. And if you don't charge it, God can't communicate to you. Nobody can reach you. God can't reach you. Nobody can reach you. And there is danger coming, and God is trying to alert you that, hey, get out from where you are. Something is wrong. He can't reach you because your battery is dead. The soul is there. The body is there. But God can't communicate to you, and you can't communicate to anybody. That is what happens when the spirit of man is dead. And you have to keep the spirit alive. You have to keep charging the spirit. And there are things that is required, and we must do to charge our spirit. One of them is the word of God. Because the word of God is the food of your spirit. You can only feed your spirit by the word, just as we eat all kinds of things. After service today, everyone lives here, thousands of you. You are all going to eat something. And you know what you are doing? You are feeding your body, not your spirit. You are feeding your body. Because fufu, bunubunu, ademe, and salad don't feed your spirit. It feeds your body. The only thing that feeds your spirit is the word of God. And the Bible says you err because you know not the scriptures. And a lot of you, you are not paying attention to your spirituality. You are not feeding your spirit. So spiritually, your battery is not charged. It has run down. It's dead. So God can reach you. And that's why things happen. And people say, God, why me? What's going on? Nothing is going on. Your battery needs to be recharged. Your spiritual battle is out of coverage area. Put your hands together and say something. Amen? It's not important. God does not communicate to your emotions. Somebody said, and I heard the voice of God in my ears clearly. No. God doesn't speak to your ears. He speaks to your spirit. Because God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Not by feelings. Not by emotions. Not by logic. Not by philosophy. Not by intellectual capabilities or reasoning. You don't feel God. God is a spirit. You sense him. You encounter him by your spirit. Put your hands together. Say something. Are you saying something? Say something. Come with me to Genesis. Genesis 1:26. Let me show you something. Genesis 1:26.
And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
So watch this. God made man in what? His own image.
And in
his what?
Likeness.
His likeness. So God is a spirit. And God is not flesh. God is not a soul. God is a spirit. And he made us after his image and likeness. So you are a small God. Little God. You are the offspring of God. You are just like your father. So you are not a human being. You are God. Little God. Small God. You are made in the very image of your father. So you are a spirit living in a body, have a soul, trying to have a human experience. If you don't understand that, you will never have dominion in life. Because what gives you dominion is understanding that you are made in the image and likeness of God, and you are just like your Father, and you are a spirit and not a human being. It is that revelation and understanding that gives you dominion over creation. But as long as you think that you are a human being, you will never have dominion. Go ahead, put your hands together, say something.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say something.
Thank you, Lord.
Come with me to John chapter 4, verse 24. I saw Rosa clapping. That means I'm preaching. Yeah. Because Rosa, she doesn't just clap. So.
Oh, yeah.
She critiques my preaching power. You see her sitting down cross her leg. She's weighing every sentence and everything. And when I finished, she said, you know, you did well, but you should have said this way. So now that she's clapping, there's no lecturer after. Come on, put your hands together. Say something. Amen. John chapter 4, verse 24.
Look, God is a spirit.
Uh-huh.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
God is what?
A spirit.
God is what?
A spirit.
And those that worship him?
Must worship him in
worship
spirit.
Worship him by the soul?
No, sir.
By the emotions?
No, sir.
By logic?
No, sir.
By philosophy?
No, sir.
By intellectuality?
No, sir.
But by what?
The spirit. It's spirit.
Tell somebody, you are not a human being. You are a spirit. You see, you can't even say it. Yeah. Because you are programmed to believe that you are a human being. You are a spirit. You live in a body. Amen. Look at Romans 1:9.
For God is my witness,
uh-huh,
whom I serve with my spirit.
Whom I serve with my mind.
No, sir.
Whom I serve with my emotion.
No, sir.
Who I serve with logic.
No, sir.
With philosophy.
No, sir.
With reasoning.
No, sir.
But serve by?
With my spirit.
I serve God by?
My spirit.
You serve God by?
The spirit.
You serve God by your spirit. Because you are a spirit. Because God is a spirit. Because you were made after his likeness and image. So our spirit relates to God. Our soul relates to the intellectual world. And our flesh relates to earth. You know why we eat the things we eat? If you eat fish, chicken, lamb, fufu, yam, bunu bunu, ademe. All those things is earth. Say earth. And why do you eat earth or sand? Because the body you live in came from dust. And dust needs dust to survive. So you need to feed on dust to keep dust alive. And do you know why? Do you know why when it comes to the struggle of the sins of the flesh, we struggle a lot? I'll tell you why. Because flesh is attracted to flesh. Dust to dust. Soul to soul. Spirit to spirit. So you have to understand it. That's why it's difficult to resist flesh. That's why Paul said, flee fornication. He didn't say walk. He didn't say run. He said what? Flee. Why should you flee? Because dust to dust. Soul to soul. Spirit to spirit. Whenever you are hungry, why are you hungry? You are hungry because dust craves for dust. So anytime you eat, you are eating dust. Because your body came from dust. And it needs dust to survive. Your spirit came from God. And your spirit needs God to survive. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together. Open your mouth. Say something. Physical food does not feed your spirit. It's only the word of God that feeds your spirit. Somebody say, I hear you.
I hear you, sir.
Somebody put your hands together. Say something. Now, come with me to Matthew chapter 22, verse 29.
Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God.
So you err because you don't know the scriptures. What does the scripture do for you and I? Whenever I dress before I leave the house, I have different mirrors. Some of the mirrors, when I stand in, it makes me look fat. And I don't like those mirrors. So I go to another mirror, it makes me look trim. And I say, you my man, I like you. You make me look good. Come on, put your hands together and say yes. But what the mirror does is, it helps me to see myself the way I am before I leave the house. Because I don't know how I look like until I stand in the mirror and look at myself. And I can tell I'm well dressed before I go out. That is what the word of God does. When you stay in the word, you study the word, you eat the word, it shows you who you truly are before God. It's only the word that reveals your true self and your true character to you. You can't lie to scripture. Scripture will reveal your true self and who you are. Now, until you continue in the word and you stay in the word, you will never know who you truly are. And let me tell you something. This Christian walk, is an everyday walk. It's not every now and then. Because you can be in the spirit today and fall tomorrow. I'm telling you, it's the constant staying in the word, being in prayer, and staying in the spirit that gives you upper hand. Jesus said something. He said, give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say give us yesterday's daily bread. Or tomorrow's daily bread. It's daily bread. Say daily bread. Daily, daily, daily. Every day. How many of you eat every day? If you are not fasting, you eat every day. You are not showing your hands. I'm asking you a question. How many of you eat every day if you are not fasting? You eat. Some of you, you eat 3 times, 4 times, 7 times. Different times. But why do you eat? Because your body needs to be fed. If you have to eat every day to feed your flesh, which is dust, you have to eat the word every day to feed your spirit. Other than that, your spiritual battle will die. And your spirit will be out of coverage area. And God can reach you and you can reach God. And you are in trouble. Put your hands together and say something.
Thank you, Lord.
So he said, you err. You err. Because you know not the scriptures. And you don't also know the power of God. Because it's being in the word, knowing the scriptures, that gives you an advantage. When the devil came to Jesus, he tempted Jesus. And if the devil can tempt Jesus, who do you think you are? This devil we are playing with, this devil is no small joke. Listen, the Bible calls him the old serpent. He's older than you. He's been around for a long time. He went to Jesus and tempted Jesus. See how Jesus overcame him. Jesus referred the devil to the scriptures. The first thing he said was, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus didn't reason with the devil. Stop trying to reason with the devil. He's smarter and intelligent than you. This was how Jesus overcame. He referred the devil to the word, to the scriptures, because he knew the scriptures. He understood the Torah. He could recite the whole Torah at the age of 12. He understood the Torah. If we know the importance of our spirituality and the word of God and our walk with God, we will pay attention, spend all our time knowing the word of God and the scriptures to feed our spirit. Because the more your spirit is awake and alive, is connected to God, God can reach you. You can reach God. You are better off that way than having money and having connection and power and not having God in your life. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you can have everything and miss life and die prematurely. Throw your life away. Taluku sawala hasit. Litu kadahanda. Mayanda kasuwan. Ekiluntu kadahavazaya. When you don't know him, everything can override you. you fall for everything. But when your spirit is awake, connected, and alive to God, you will know things natural people don't know. The other day, the prophet Elisha said, he said to his servant, Gehazi, he said, did not my spirit go with you when you went after the general to lie to him? When covetousness pushed you to go collect what I rejected, did not my spirit go with you? His spirit was so alive that he said, I was in my room, but my spirit went with you. What does that mean? It means you can be in Ghana here, and your spirit can be somewhere else. If your spirit is alive and connected to God. I'm not talking about extra travel. No. People on the other side can do that because they develop their spirit. We don't develop our spirit. Our spirit matures. Our spirit grows. And you can be here and be somewhere else by your spirit. How do you do that? By spiritual sensitivity and connection. By the word of knowledge. You can be here and be somewhere by the word of knowledge and know things. Bishop, what I will tell you, sometimes I'll be out of the country and I'll call him and I said, have you seen so-and-so-and-so? And he said, no. I said, check on her. And sometimes I'll tell Bishop, I said, Bishop, they want to take this person out. I said, Bishop, get some people, go there quickly. And they'll go and he said, how did you know? And I said, I just knew it. Did I hear it? No, I didn't hear. But I perceive. Say, I perceive. And the word perceive means to know. You know things. Lift up your cell phone. Lift it up. Is your battery charged? Then I can reach you and you can reach me. And the battle of your phone is your spirit. When it dies, you are in trouble. Everything can happen to you. And God can't reach you, and you can't reach God. Say something. Clap your hands. Say something. Amen. Look at James chapter 1, verse 22 to 24.
Mm-hmm. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man
so
he is.
It's dangerous to be hearing the word and not be a doer. What does it mean to be a doer of the word? You are sick. You go to the hospital. They diagnose that you have a particular problem. And they give you medication to take in order to deal with the infection you have. If you don't take the medication, the infection will spread and kill you. It's the same thing spiritually. When you hear the word and you are not a doer of the word, you deceive yourself. You deceive yourself because you set yourself up for trouble. So be a doer of the word. Tell somebody, act on the word. Take the prescription. Follow the instructions. Amen. Colossians 4:2.
Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving.
Do what? Say continue. 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 He didn't say pray every now and then. He said do what? Continue. Say continuity. It's necessary for longevity. You can't do it every now and then. Watch this. The Muslims, they pray 5 times a day all their lives. The Jews pray 3 times a day. How can we struggle with prayer? How can we pray every now and then? You don't appreciate the importance of prayer. The Bible didn't say I should pray for you. I will pray for you, but you need to pray for yourself. God is counting on you. He wants to hear your voice before the throne. Continue in prayer. How do you keep your battery charged spiritually? Being in the word. Being in prayer. When you continue in prayer, you keep your battery charged. You keep your spirit alive and awake, and God can reach you. He can speak. You hear him. And look at another scripture, very important, why we must pray. Come with me to Matthew 26:41.
Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation.
Do what?
Watch and pray.
Talk to me, do what?
Watch and pray.
So if you are not watching, You will not know how to pray and what to pray for, and you will fall into temptation. I'm telling you. It doesn't matter how anointed you are. You can be an archbishop, a prophet, an apostle, teacher, even. It doesn't matter how long you've been in the Lord. If you don't watch and pray, you can fall. Yeah.
So the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
You see, God said something the other day, and he scared me. He really scared me. God said to Satan, he said, though you move me, Bishop James. This is God speaking. God said, Satan, you provoke me. You move me to destroy Job without a reason. You know what it means? It means that the distractions of Job, God gave permission. But the permission came because Satan moved God to destroy Job. Bishop James, you have to give me an offering. It's serious. Do you hear what I said? If Satan can provoke Almighty God and move God to the point where he gave God a reason why God should remove his protection from Job and give him permission to destroy everything Job has, and God did it, it must tell you that Satan is not the respecter of any one of us. And that's what the Bible says. Watch and pray. So stop all this your spirituality. Are you hearing me? Stop all this your foolish spirituality. And be vigilant. Be humble. And be a human being. It's very important. I was telling them at the first service that one of the things I like about President Kufuor is the fact that throughout his presidency, he never lost his humanity as president. The man was powerful, never lost his humanity. And after he's been out of office, every now and then, I'll go see him. Rosa goes to see him every now and then. And the man is still a human being. He's not a president. He doesn't have the power nor the money he might have. But one thing he hasn't lost is his humanity. You go there, you sit down with him, he talks to you, and you feel like this is a human being. And he makes you feel like you're a human being. Never let power, never let money, or access, or connection, cause you to lose your humanity. I told them in the first service that anybody gifted and anyone anointed, and you can fill the Independence Square 7 times every Sunday morning and work signs and wonders and raise the dead, and you are not accountable to anybody and nobody supervises or oversees you, you are a problem. I'm telling you. Don't follow and commit your life to anybody gifted, anointed, with numbers, great works, who don't answer to anybody, and who is not supervised by anyone. That person is trouble. I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time. Study the healing waves. Look at men like A.A. Allen. Died in a hotel drunk. Look at Jacob, died at the age of 38. He built a tent bigger than Oral Roberts' tent. He was all over the place. The media blew him up. And they said that his tent was bigger than that of Oral Roberts. That he was the biggest of all time. Better and bigger than Oral Roberts. Oral said nothing. And Oral Roberts lived over 60-something years. Died over 90-something years when Jacob passed away and his ministry withered. William Branham and so many others were so powerful, they were so gifted, had numbers, built Zion City. Great guys. very gifted, very anointed. Alexander Dowie was in his hotel, and the Spirit said to him, walk out of your hotel, walk out. So he took his Bible and he walked out of his hotel. As soon as he walked out of his office, as soon as he walked out of the office building and went out, his office exploded. Somebody had put a bomb there to destroy him. But check how they ended. Because these men were so gifted that they didn't think anybody was anointed and bigger than them for them to answer to. Because their gifts were so powerful, the anointing was so powerful, their success was so great that they didn't see the importance of being accountable to anybody and being supervised by anybody. And if you are that kind, you are dangerous. You err. You end up in error. Because the gift is not enough. The anointing is not enough. You must be held accountable. You must submit to somebody. Somebody must cover you. Since I got born again, I've always been accountable to somebody. It began with Elder Saki of the Church of Pentecost. Then I went to Bible school and submitted to Archbishop Benson Idahosa of blessed memory for years. When he passed away, I went personally and submitted myself to Papa Maurice Celero and committed myself to Dr. Leslie Samuel and moved to South Bend, Indiana and stayed in South Bend, Indiana for 2 years to study Leslie Samuel. And after him, I submitted to my grandfather in the faith, T.L. Osborne. And I've always submitted to Dr. Nyaku Entry. I met him 48 years ago and I've always respected him and submitted to him. Some of you haven't been anywhere. You haven't accomplished anything. And because of some anointing and gift, you think you are so anointed, so gifted than anybody, that you can't be answerable to anybody. You can't submit to anybody. You are a danger to your generation. It's just a matter of time. You will err and mislead a lot of people. Yeah. Jim Jones in the United States of America. Jim Jones was so gifted that he didn't answer to anybody. He was not under anybody's supervision. And he misled thousands of people, took them to Guyana, and got them all to poison themselves and die. Because no one held him responsible. If he was accountable to somebody, somebody would have held him responsible. I'm telling you. Sometimes Bishop Nyack, you see him quiet like that, he will come to me and say, Archbishop, are you okay? And I understand what he's saying. I know exactly what he's saying. Are you okay? And I said, yes, pray for me. So there's the Archbishop. Is everything okay? You need somebody who is not afraid of you. And who is not afraid of your gift. And not afraid of your numbers. And not afraid of your success. And can speak truth to power. Put your hands together. Say something. The Bible said, Jesus said, there shall come a day when many shall say, I raised the dead, I cleansed the lepers, I performed wonders, miracles, I did mighty weak works and deeds in your name. And Jesus will say, workers of iniquity, I know you not. I never knew you all the time. When people were celebrating you, I didn't know you. Workers of iniquity. You use my name to do what you want. You live by your own standards and requirements. You didn't follow my rules. You didn't do it my way. You did it your way. So I don't know you. I reject you. When Jesus comes, it will be very scary. On that day, some of you will be shocked. Put your hands together. Say something. You are too quiet. Amen. Okay, let's move on quickly. Mark chapter 9, verse 28. Mark 9, 29. Mark 9:29.
And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting.
You see, so these are protocols. We call them rules of engagement. This is Jesus speaking about a condition of a young man suffering from epilepsy. And the disciples couldn't deal with the matter. And Jesus said, there are things that money can't handle. Political power and connection can't handle. Human intervention can't handle. He said, this kind, it takes fasting and prayer. Somebody say fasting and prayer. That's why in this church we declare every Wednesday is a day of our fast. And there are so many people who will not come to the Wednesday services and the fast. And the only reason why they won't come is because they can't fast a day in the week. And if you are a Christian and you eat 7 days a week, you have a problem. I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time. You backslide. Your flesh will override you. You cannot eat 7 days in a week. You can't. I'm telling you, you just can't do it. Tell somebody, I'll see you on Wednesday. I'll see you on Wednesday. Amen? Clap your hands. Say something. John chapter 17, verse 19. John 17:19.
And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified.
Spirituality, purity, sanctification. He said, I sanctify myself for their sake, that they also might be sanctified. Leadership by example. James chapter 4, verse 8.
Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Mm-hmm. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
Okay, it speaks for itself. Let me not say anything. Acts 2:42.
And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers.
So it's important that we continue in fellowship, the doctrines of the apostles, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. 1 John 1:7.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Proverbs 27:17.
Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend.
Fellowship with the brethren. Ephesians 7:18-19. Ephesians 5:18-19.
Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is, of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
That word be filled means keep being filled, keep being filled, keep being filled. Just as you drink water. You drink water. You are thirsty. You drink water. You drink juice. You drink all kinds of things to quench your thirst. Spiritually, you have to keep being filled. That is how you keep your spirit alive. Other than that, spiritually, you are desensitized and anything can hit you without you knowing. Romans 8:14.
For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
As many as are led or guided or driven or controlled by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Why are they the sons of God? Because God is a spirit. He's a spirit. So when you are spirit-led, governed, controlled, driven, then you are a true child of God. Then you are connected to God. Not when your soul, not when your flesh, your emotions, and your body dominates and controls you. You are not a child of God. He doesn't know you. He only knows you when you are spirit-led, spirit governed and spirit driven. Somebody say, I hear you.
I hear you, sir.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 to 32.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit.
Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
When we don't follow these things here, when we are not tender-hearted towards one another, when we are not forgiving and letting things go, we grieve the Holy Spirit. When your spirit is not charged, like your cell phone battery, the Spirit of God is grieved because He wants to communicate to you. He wants to tell you things. He wants to show you things. But because your spirit or your battery is not charged, He's grieved because He has the assignment to help you, but He can't help you because your spirit is dead. Your cell phone is there, but your battery is not charged, is dead. Look at some few scriptures and I want us to pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 1.
And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ.
That is Paul speaking. He said, I couldn't reach you. I couldn't reach your cell phone. It was out of coverage area. Why? You didn't charge your phone. Your spirit is not charged. And I couldn't speak to you because you don't understand spiritual language. The Bible says, he who is spiritual judges all things and no man judges him. So there are things I want to tell you about your own future and about your own, the good of your own future in your life. But I can't tell you because you don't understand the code. You don't understand the spiritual language. So I have to leave it alone. There are things Bishop Oboda will tell you, Bishop Nyaku. There are situations I just tell them, you know what, this thing, you have to leave it. Don't talk about it. We're dealing with something yesterday. And I said, Bishop, this is not something we have to address. We can't touch it. We can't deal with it because the people involved are not spiritual people. So if you try to touch it, it's going to bring a whole lot of issues. So let's just pray for them. Leave it. Give it time and let's see how it goes. Because if you confront it, there will be all kinds of reactions. Why? They are not spiritual people. Their spirit is dead. Their cell phone is not charged. The battle is dead. So you can come. Paul said, I came to you and I couldn't relate to you. I had the message from God. I could not relate it because you were spiritually desensitized.
Help us, Lord.
And let me tell you, spiritual gift is not spirituality. The most carnal people I have seen in the body of Christ is gifted people. They are so gifted that they depend on their gift than the word of God. They depend on the gift and the anointing than the word. And they are so gifted and so carnal that it's scary.
Yes,
listen, I was in London and this man of God came to see me. And he's not married. And he said, Papa, how do you deal with libido? You are looking at me. You see the way you look very spiritual. Acting like you don't know what libido is. And I said, what is the problem? He said, my sex drive is too high. How can I reduce my sex drive? And I said, it's a deliverance matter. Yeah. You need deliverance. Because if you are not married and your sex level is high, how do you know it's high? How do you know it's high? Tell somebody, it's a deliverance matter. Put your hands together, say something. Okay, I'll stop here. I'll continue next week. Romans 8, 5 to 8. Romans 8, 5 to 8.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
For to be carnally minded is
Listen,
death.
To be carnally minded is premature death. You die prematurely. When you are carnally minded, your whole Christian life is carnal, carnality. Go ahead.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Uh-huh. Life and peace. Spiritually minded.
Because the carnal mind is enmity against God.
When you are carnally minded, You are an enemy to God. There is always a conflict between the spirit and the flesh. Go ahead.
For it is not subject to the law of God.
It cannot be subject to the law of God.
Neither indeed can be.
It cannot be.
So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God.
Cannot. Say cannot. Cannot.
Cannot.
If you are carnal, you can never please God. I mean, there are people right now who have issues with the things I'm saying. Yeah, that's why some of you are looking at me some way. If it's not true, put your hands together. Say something. Amen? Yeah. So it's very, very important to understand that your spirit must rule your soul and your body. And God wants to guide you by your spirit, not by your soul, not by your body.
Turn it in my favor.
We know you are blessed by that word of God, and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1 877 361 5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today, and may you continue to experience the life-transforming power of God's blessings.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.